Tomorrow, if the weather cooperates, the final space shuttle will launch into orbit. Really. We've been reporting on the last flights of specific vehicles, but this is really it. When Atlantis takes off and returns, all of the shuttles will travel to American museums, including the Smithsonian. It will be the end of an era. For 30 years, NASA's shuttle program has been marked by breathtaking victories and, of course, heartbreaking tragedies, including the loss of the crews of the Challenger and the Columbia. Pat Duggins is news director of Alabama Public Radio, but many of you know him for his longtime reporting on space travel for WMFE in Florida. He's been covering the shuttle program since the Challenger went down in 1986. When he attends this final launch, it will be his 103rd. He joins us from Alabama Public Radio. Pat, your thoughts going into this last launch?
Well, after 103 shuttle missions, I'm thinking I need to do something with my life, Robin. I mean, like, my God, I've been drinking Tang for a long time. But no, it will be an end of an era, kind of a victory lap for NASA. I mean, it's just a plain old-fashioned resupply mission, but close to a million people are expected at Kennedy Space Center tomorrow for what may be a successful liftoff try, or it may just be another one of those weather scrubs. We'll just have to kind of sit it out and wait it out and see.
Well, just give us the thumbnail real brief. Critics of the shuttle say what? Supporters of the shuttle say what?
Well, critics of the shuttle have always said that, the premise of my first book, Final Countdown, was that Apollo worked because it was a mission that went looking for a spacecraft, and the shuttle didn't work because it was a spacecraft that went looking for a mission. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first launch of the shuttle was 1981, and it didn't really come into its own to build the space station until 1998. So that's like 18 years waiting for a real mission to come along for NASA. But supporters, on the other hand, will say that it's a technically superior vehicle. It's the most complicated and sophisticated aircraft that's ever flown. It enabled man to sort of have reasonably routine access to space. But I think with the shuttle program going away, it's a collective, we can finally move on to something where NASA may actually have a mission, which it really hasn't had since like maybe 1972.
Well, we've talked to you about what happens next and the debate over that, Mars, the moon, private space shuttle. But I just want to get your memories of what has happened. Start with one of those heartbreaking moments when the Challenger exploded. You weren't even covering NASA. You were working on another story. This was your first assignment on NASA?
Hey, absolutely. I mean, nobody was covering it. I mean, CNN was still, you know, a fledgling network at the time. They were covering it live. And that was just about it. So I was off doing another story, and I was at my station, and one of the account representatives went running past this glass booth where I'm at, and I'm like, nobody moves at the station that fast. So I stuck my head out and said, what happened? And she said, the shuttle just blew up. And I didn't believe her until I went to the next booth where they were recording launch audio, and it was just a room full of ashen faces, so I just grabbed a recorder, news car keys, and just followed the mushroom cloud out to the Kennedy Space Center. By the time I got there, the parts were still coming down.
Oh, dear. Let's remind ourselves the excitement, though, as it launched. Let's listen.
2, 1, and liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
And then, of course, moments later, the relatives of the astronauts watched the spacecraft was gone.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
It's really tough. And we've talked about this over the years, the accident caused by some foam that got loose. But you found out later through your reporting that NASA engineers had actually warned the higher-ups about a problem.
Well, the concern was that, you have two separate shuttle accidents, Challenger and Columbia. For Challenger, the worry was the shuttle was going to lift off after like 27 degrees of overnight temperatures. It was really, really cold, and they weren't sure that the gaskets and the solid rocket boosters were going to keep their elasticity and keep the booster thrust focused down instead of leaking out of the sides. And NASA manager said, well, can you prove there's a problem? And the engineer said, well, they really couldn't, so NASA went ahead and launched, and the shuttle, you know, the astronauts were lost. If you fast forward to 2003 with the Columbia accident, engineers saw the foam fall off the external tank, hit the wing, and create a puff of smoke. But when they went to NASA managers, they simply said the same thing. Can you prove there's a problem? And the engineers said they couldn't, so the shuttle just kept flying. And as I was waiting for it at the Kennedy Space Center's landing strip, it just broke apart and burned up during reentry.
You're terrible. Then, there, of course, there was the Columbia loss in 2003. You met one of the astronauts, David Brown. After he died, you found out he named his golden retriever Duggins. We can't help but think, you know, that's...
It's probably the biggest coincidence on the face of the planet, but according to published reports, he loved that dog. So assuming it wasn't a coincidence, I would be personally honored if someone named their best friend after me. So it's like, you know, that's perfectly cool. Whether it's true or not, you know, we'll just wait and see.
Well, he apparently also listened to your reports for years. But after that Columbia accident, just heart pounding. Before it was official, you heard something. What was that?
Well, whenever a shuttle comes back, there's always a sonic boom off the nose and the tail as it approaches the Kennedy Space Center. And, by then I'd covered close to well over 90 missions. So as soon as the shuttle comes back, I'm already writing my first post, landing spot to go on air. And so I'm sitting here typing away on my laptop and looking out at this big digital clock, which counts down to zero as the shuttle comes in. And when it reaches 2 minutes, you're supposed to hear the sonic boom. So I'm typing and looking and typing and looking. And by the time the clock reaches the 2 minute point, it keeps going down, and there's no sound. So I tracked down the first NASA manager I could find and said, well, what's going on? And they just kind of looked at me and said, we just lost a shuttle.
Oh, again, just heart-stopping. Well, those moments, of course, stand out, but then there were others. There, hilarity, victory, another moment. Our astronauts went to meet the Russians at the Mir space station. Let's just listen to a little of their arrival.
Endeavour Houston for Andy. What's it look like?
It's an impressive sight, actually. It's just amazing. It's been described as a big mosquito or dragonfly, and it's right. It's got all kinds of wings on it. It's an incredible sight.
Pat Duggins, you call this a game changer.
Well, it was, because I got a note from Robert McCall. He's a nationally famous space artist, and right after Space Shuttle Atlantis first docked to the Mir the first time, he sent me a note, and the note was simply, I can't believe this happened, because, we'd been competitors with the Russians for so long. And so when we had the first rendezvous mission between the shuttle and Mir, we'd heard what Mir looked like and we'd seen schematics, but we'd never seen it up close before. So it's pitch black. The shuttle's moving in. They've got their video cameras aimed at where Mir's supposed to be. And you just see this strobing light in the background. And then all of a sudden, as it gets closer and closer, all of these crew compartments and all of these solar panels sticking out every which way shows up. And dead center is a porthole with a cosmonaut staring at the shuttle. And when the astronauts came back, they sounded like a flying saucer landed in their backyard.
Pat Duggins, with so many memories of the NASA shuttle program, one of the weirder ones, a woodpecker found nesting in the outer foam core. Pat, thank you so much for your reporting over the years. You're now news director of Alabama Public Radio. You've been speaking to us from WCF in Orlando, waiting with everyone else for this last shuttle flight to take place. We will be thinking of you as well as it goes. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Robin.